Today's scripture is Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who seek all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Connie. Good morning. It's good to see all of you, especially this choir. Like, Yoon, that's a lot of people. That's lovely. Yes. Really nice. For those of you who might be quite new here, I'm a pastor here, as you now know. I used to be up front all the time because worship was my thing, was my area, but we've changed roles, and I am now what we call the executive pastor, so you don't see me up front very often, but every now and then I get to be here, and I'm so pleased that I get to be here today and bring the word. So it is good to see you all, and it is good to hear you all. Sitting up front, you should sit up front sometime, those of you in the back. You hear, it's just lovely. So that's just my plea. Or online, you hear as well. Would you pray with me and for me? Holy and gracious God, it is good to be here today. It is good to sing and to pray and to know that we have all come together just as we are, whether we are here in this sanctuary or online, at our homes, traveling, in hospitals, wherever we are gathered together to worship you. And so I pray now that the words that I have prepared might honor you, and that you might take them and make them yours, because without you we are empty, but with you we have all things. And so I pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. So I wanted to start this sermon out with a poll where you would raise your hands for A, B, or C, but somebody said you can't do that because you might make people a little uncomfortable. And I said, well, if you can't be uncomfortable in church, where can you be uncomfortable? But I think they're right. So this is a poll you're going to take in your head, all right? You don't have to raise your hands online. Nobody's going to know if you raise your hand, so you can. But I'm going to give you three choices. And I want you to think about when Connie stood up here and she starts out the scripture by saying this, do not worry. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Did you, A, stop listening? B, roll your eyes. C, say, got it, Jesus, I do that all the time. Think about what you did. I will confess that I roll my eyes. I wish I didn't. I wish I just went, of course, Jesus, I will not worry. I just think, are you serious? Do not worry about your life. Do you not even know who I am? Because anxiety and worry are just a part of who we are. And yet, this is in the scripture. We're in this sermon series called Jesus Said What? And you have to say it like that. Jesus said what? Because it's like, are you kidding me, Jesus? We're exploring these things that Jesus said, and sometimes we look at it and go, I really don't think Jesus must have meant that. But it is, in fact, in the Bible, the inspired word of God, so there has to be some truth to it. So today, we're going to walk through this and try to figure out what is it? What is it that Jesus wants us to know? What is it that Jesus is saying to us? Now, here's something really important. I want you to remember as we go through this sermon, as we go through this little time we have together, Jesus knows you. Jesus knows you. In fact, turn to one another, find a person and say, Jesus knows you. Do it online too. Jesus knows you. Here's another one. Jesus understands you. Say that to each other. Jesus understands you. And the most important one of all, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. I want you to hold on to that and remember that as we walk through this today, because Jesus knows us. He knows our humanity. Jesus understands who we are, and Jesus loves us. Jesus, listen, would not give you an impossible task. So if do not worry feels like an impossible task, just remember, Jesus isn't going to give you an impossible task. Jesus is going to give you a hard task. Jesus is going to ask you to do things that are really hard, and you're going to think, okay. But he's not going to give you an impossible task. So what is he saying in do not worry? Do not worry about your life. Well, I think there are maybe two types of worry. I'm not a psychologist. I just decided there were two types of worry. Here's the first type of worry. The first type of worry is when on Thursday morning, your friend and lead pastor texts you and says, I'm so sorry, but I'm really sick. And I don't think I'm going to be able to preach on Sunday. Would you do it? And you go, of course, I would be happy to. And then you think, oh my gosh, I have to preach on Sunday. I'm a person who, if I'm going to preach on Sunday, I start on Sunday afternoon. Like, I spend a lot of time on this, people. And then it is, I think, okay, but I can do it. I can do it. And so I'm going to put the sermon together. Gosh, I'm really busy on Thursday and Friday. We have a family thing on Saturday. And that's worry. That's worry, right? Worry that you're going to stink. Worry that this will be the Sunday they all get up and walk out. Please don't do that. That's worry. It is a nagging worry. It is a worry. You know what it is? It's like worry. Telling me not to worry is like telling me don't be hungry for dinner. It's a primal thing in me. It is not something that I can just do. But like hunger, when I'm hungry and I'm cranky and hangry, if somebody gives me a cookie, I'm great. I just need a little food. I need to take a moment and stop. And when I'm worried about those things, you know, those little things that we all worry about all the time, if I just stop and I take a breath, and I phone a friend, and I do the hard work that I know I need to do, I'm okay. Do not worry. Makes sense. But then there's another kind of worry. There's a kind of worry that's like that soul deep, bone deep, overpowering, overwhelming worry that is anxiety and even fear. It's a deep thing that is in our very souls. When I was a little girl, I was 11 or 12, I developed a fear of the dark. I developed a paralyzing fear of the dark. So it would become time to go to bed, and I would go with great fear and trepidation because I was convinced something was going to happen. But I was 11 or 12, so I didn't tell anybody I was afraid because, you know, I was 11. I would go to bed and I would lie in there and it would be dark and the house would quiet down and I would be convinced something was coming out of the dark and it was going to get me. And I was terrified. I was so anxious and I was so worried. And one night it was particularly bad. And I lay there and of course I heard something. And my immediate reaction, I'm laying face down, is to take the covers, the sheet, the blanket, and the bedspread and pull them up over my head and hold them really tightly down, because if I was hiding, nothing could get me. The darkness couldn't come in. And so I just gripped really tightly and I held it on and I thought, I'm just going to stay awake all night because that will protect me. But I was 11. You can't stay awake all night when you're 11. So I fell asleep. And then I woke with a jerk And I am so hot. It's so hot and stuffy inside my little cocoon here. And I'm thinking, I would love a breath of fresh air. I would love to be able to breathe, but I don't dare lift up the covers because the dark will get me. And I was lying there. I heard my father singing, "Oh, what a beautiful morning." He was underneath my window in the garden out back. And I thought, why is my father singing in the garden in the middle of the night? This makes no sense to me. But his voice gave me enough courage to lift the corner, and light came in. And his singing gave me enough courage to pull the covers back and realize that the day had come. And I was safe. That's what I wish people knew about Jesus. You don't have to hold on to the fear and the anxiety that you carry, to the fear that is so deeply within you, you just can hardly function, and we grip it and we hold on to it and we don't want to let it go. But Jesus is saying, don't worry, I'm going to be with you always. I don't know what your worry is. I don't know if you have a big worry or a small worry. Some of you may be worried about school starting. Some of you may have dropped your child off at college for the first time and you're worried about them. Some of you are worried about a relationship. Some of you are worried about a job. I don't know what you're worried about, but we all carry them, big and small. And in this passage that Jesus gives us, I believe that Jesus shows us some ways of how to cope with this. Jesus says, in fact, read this with me, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes?" I hear that, and I try to remind myself of that. Do not worry, he says, do not worry. And then I remember that in the Bible, from Genesis all the way through to Revelation, there is time and time and time again where a prophet or God or an angel or Jesus or a disciple says, don't be afraid, don't worry. I remember my favorite Bible passage is in the book of Isaiah. "Do not fear," God says, "for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine." And then in the New Testament, we hear an angel saying to a very frightened man whose betrothed is pregnant, Joseph, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your spouse." And then later on, Jesus says to these disciples who are like, we can't do this, we don't know what we're going to do. And he says, "Don't be afraid. I will be with you always." God knows that we carry worry and fear. God understands that. And remember, Jesus knows who we are. Jesus understands us and Jesus loves us. So Jesus says, do not worry. There must be something in there that we need to understand. Jesus is reminding us that our life is more than what we put into or on our bodies, as important as that is. A week or so ago, I got a phone call from somebody who was helping a woman who had been in a very abusive marriage, and she was escaping. She had a child with her, and she literally escaped with a paper bag full of a few things. And the person on the phone was trying to help her get food and clothes and a place to stay, like the most basic of needs. And I thought, she must be so anxious, she must be so worried. And I hear Jesus saying, do not worry. And I'm like, how does a woman like that, how do you help her not to worry? It's not easy. So what are we to do? Well, in this scripture, Jesus is reminding us of who God is and who we are. Jesus is trying to get us into the flow of God's love and provision. Don't worry. In other words, trust God. but I could do another survey, and I bet I would get similar results. That when we hear these words, what we often hear is just ignore pain, it will go away, put on a happy face, suck it up, be strong, don't show weakness. We hear all these things. That's not what God is saying to us. So what is God trying to teach us? I want you to notice something. When Jesus begins this scripture, he says, therefore, do not worry. Why does he say therefore? Like it's one simple little word. Therefore, do not worry. Well, let me give you some context. This scripture is found in something that we call the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is found in the book of Matthew. It is some of the primary of Jesus' teaching. There are three chapters of the Sermon on the Mount. This was a long period of teaching. And Jesus teaches all the people that come to listen, which was a lot of people. He's teaching all the people that come to listen, here's how you pray. Here's how you hang out with other people and do life together and care for each other. Here's how you feed one another. Here's how you worship together. Here's how you do acts of service together. Three chapters. Here's how you do it. Here's how you do it. He's teaching. He's laying a foundation for how to live in Christ. And that's what we want to do. We want to live in Christ. That's why we come to worship in church. That's why we follow Jesus, because Jesus really does have the best way. Jesus knows how we should live. And when we live like that, it's just better. So he's laying this big foundation, chapter, 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 chapter. And at the very end of the chapter, he says, therefore, do not worry. Therefore, when you sing songs of praise together, when you do acts of service, when you sit with your friends, when you are compassionate, when you pray, when you do all of these things, if you have done all of those things in your life, do not worry, because you've laid a foundation that teaches you and reminds you that you are deeply and dearly loved. Jesus has spent hours, maybe days, teaching this crowd to stand in the flow of God's love. Therefore, as you are standing in this stream of grace, therefore, in the midst of your prayer and your study, remember that you are loved. Jesus wants us to trust God, yes, but the deeper message in this passage, the deeper message in all of the Sermon on the Mount is, be a disciple of Christ. Deepen your discipleship. Enter into the way that Jesus wants you to live so that we are equipped to trust God with all of our lives. You don't just magically not worry. You don't just amazingly say, I'm a Christian, now I'm not going to worry. I wish it was that simple, but it is not. Jesus is giving us a call to trust that God in the person of Jesus is showing us the best way to live. Jesus is inviting us to pursue God with such fervor through prayer and worship and caring for others and caring for ourselves that when we step into times of anxiety and worry, we will instinctively hold on to Jesus. Jesus is calling us to live a transformed life, one that is full of fear and worry and anxiety, into one that is holding on to the hand of Christ in the midst of everything. When we are transformed by love, we can soar above the messiness that we humans have created. God wants us to have a meaningful life, and God knows that sometimes a meaningful life has times of anxiety. No matter how much we love God, no matter how many choirs we sing in, no matter how many small groups we are a part of, no matter how many acts of service we do, anxiety and worry are a part of our lives. It is how we deal with them. Whether you are watching the latest hurricane come towards your home, whether you are a father in Gaza longing to protect your children, whether you are worried about this election season that our country is in, or you're just worried about managing I-66 in rush hour. Large and small worries will come. And that's why Jesus spends the last part of this huge Sermon on the Mount reassuring us of God's love. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Read this with me. Are you not of more value than they? Are you not of more value than they? The answer is yes. Yes, you are. God cares so deeply for the lilies of the field, for the sparrows, for this beautiful world around us. And yet, you have more value. You are loved so deeply by our Lord with all your problems. Jesus isn't giving us a flippant, don't worry about it answer. Jesus is saying you are precious and beloved by God, so don't worry and be anxious. Instead, seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And what is being given to you is a transformed life. It is a way to live. Trust in the practices that Jesus is calling us to and allow yourself to be transformed into a deeply devoted follower of Jesus. Someone who spends each day leaning deeply into discipleship so that not only can you lift the covers of darkness and allow the light to be in, you can invite other people into that light. I want to share with you this story that is attributed to Cecil B. DeMille. And he talks about this time when he is in a canoe. And it's a nice day, and he's anchored, and he's beside the edge of the stream, and he's reading a book. And while he's reading this book, this black beetle crawls up the canoe and gets onto the gunwale of the canoe, which is like this part right here. And the beetle just sits there, and he looks aside, and he sees all these other beetles in the mud, just kind of doing whatever beetles do, I don't know, crawling around. And as he watches this beetle, he's like, wow, that's a hard life. Like you got mud and you're slow and there's no light. And as he watches this beetle on the gunwale, it dies. And as he watches it, he thinks, oh my gosh, is that all there is to this beetle's life? But as he watches it, it splits open. The carcass, you know, the carapace, I guess you call it, of this beetle comes open, and this oozing mass comes out of it. And I want to read this part to you. Then a strange thing happened. His glistening black shell cracked all the way down the back, and out of it came a shapeless mass whose hideousness was transformed into beautiful, brilliantly colored life. And as I watched with fascination, out of that mass, there gradually unfolded four sparkling wings, which the sunlight blazed a thousand colors. The wings spread wide as if in worship of the sun, and the blue-green body took shape. And before his very eyes, there occurred a metamorphosis. And this dragonfly came to be. This transformation into the world from a plodding, mud-stuck beetle into a gorgeous dragonfly, which started flitting and soaring over the waters while the body it had left behind still clung to the carcass on the canoe. The dragonfly happily explored its wonderful new world, darting in an instant over a space and time where a short time before it would have taken him months to crawl. And these other beetles were still there, plodding along in the mud. Were they looking up, and did they see this dragonfly? And did they have hope that one day maybe I could be a dragonfly? And did that dragonfly look down at all those beetles and think, how can I help them? Friends, we can be transformed if we follow the way of Christ. It's so easy. Sometimes I'm one of a beetle and I'm just crawling along in the mud. And I can hardly look up because I'm heavy with anxiety and worry. Sometimes I just don't know how to do it. Sometimes I'm still under the covers, wanting the light to come in, but being afraid to let that happen. But sometimes I feel the presence of God so closely that I am willing to come into the light and be transformed. And you all do that for me in small groups, in times of prayer, in music, and allowing your child to be baptized. What a beautiful thing that is. In singing songs that lift my spirits, in greeting me in the gathering space. This is how we are the community of Christ together. We lift each other up. And I don't know if you watch dragonflies. I watch them a lot when I'm on the water. And they're fast, and they're beautiful, and they fly around, and they land on everything. They will land on your hat. They will land on your grandson. They will land on the dock. They will land on the boat. They will land in the water and jump right back up. They come down, and then they fly away again. So as we are transformed, because we want to be like Jesus, as we are transformed, we can go back and help others who desperately long to let the light into their lives. This is what we are called to do as people who follow Jesus. So when Jesus says, therefore, you've done all the other things, right? You are doing them. If you are not, can I encourage you? Sign up and be an usher. Welcome people to worship. Come sing in a choir. We have so many wonderful ones. Read scripture on a Sunday morning. Work at the welcome desk. Go package food for hungry children right as soon as you're done. Serve. In a little while, we're going to do a life group fair, and you're going to be invited to be in a group with other people to talk about life and faith. Do it. These are the things that Jesus teaches in those first three chapters of the Sermon on the Mount. And then he says, after you do all that, you've laid your foundation, therefore, do not worry, because you are loved and cherished and beloved of God. And that is who you are, and that is who I am, and that is who we are called to be. So therefore, do not worry. Amen? Amen.